This morning, about 2 o'clock, maybe a little bit before then, it's like I didn't want to wake up, but he woke me up. And so he changed what I was going to preach on today. So I'm going over to 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 8. The Lord sees and the Lord knows. Even your deepest need, your deepest desire, whether you express it to him or not, he sees. He's Almighty God. He's all-knowing God. And he knows each and every one of us inside out. God knows more about you than you know about yourself. His thoughts toward you are many. So many that we can't even count them. We cannot even begin to conceive of what God knows and understands about us. And much less can we even understand how much God wants to bless every soul in here. God wants us to come up lacking in nothing. I need you to just think about that for a moment. God does not want you falling short in any area of your life. God does not want you needing anything that is going to make you whole, that is going to make you complete. His desire is that we know his will and that that will is expressed through our lives. God wants that for us. And so this morning when he woke me up, it was like he took me to 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 8. And let's begin reading. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Great woman means that she was rich. And she said unto her husband, behold, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful. You've taken care of us. You've been good to me. For us with all this care, what is to be done for you? What can I do for you, lady? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, listen to the word of the Lord, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaiden. Don't play with me. You know why she said it that way? Because that was a desire of hers. That was something that she longed for. She said, don't play with the thing that I want most. Don't play with me. Don't lie to me. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. The man of God is going and coming, going and coming. This woman, who is a woman of great wealth, a woman of great stature, sees and recognizes him for being a man of God and decides that she wants to be a blessing to him. She has a need. It's not financial, but she has a need to be a mother. She has a longing to be a mother. She doesn't mention it to him. Even when he asks her, she doesn't mention it. She goes to her husband and she says, I perceive that this is a man of God. And when he comes, I'd like for us to have a place in our house for him to stay, a place for him to rest. So he won't be like a transient, but he'll have a place of his own when he comes. And so her husband makes sure that happens, that there's a place for this man of God to rest in his house when he comes. And so the prophet is so grateful. He's not satisfied taking from her. His heart's not satisfied just with what she can do, but it inspires him and the Spirit of God in him, the Spirit of God in him, really, to ask her what she needs. Because see, God has seen her and he's seen the longing in her heart. And he says, is there anything I can do for you? You want me to go to the king? You want me to go to the higher ups? You want me to speak to somebody for you? She said, no, I have everything I need. And I just live here among my neighbors. I'm not looking for anything special. I'm not doing this so that I can get something. I'm not doing this so I can get something. I'm not serving in the kingdom so I can get something. I'm not manipulating the kingdom of God. I'm not playing with the things of God. In earnest, I do what I do. In earnest, it's my heart's desire to do what I do. So you need to see the heart in this woman. She has a need. She has a longing. But that has not blocked her from honoring God. That has not blocked her from recognizing that a man of God needs a place to stay. And I'm not so much talking about the man, but I'm talking about the worship toward God that's in her heart. She said, I'm not doing this to be seen. I'm not doing this so they'll say, oh, look at what she's doing. She's not doing it to be seen. She's not doing it for the wrong reason. And she's doing it all out of a pure heart. And she says, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. I'm just honoring God. How different that is so much today. The way we give and the and how we do. It was like when Regina was sitting up here taking the tithes and offerings. She said it's worship. Yeah. Most places people call it blessing time and seed time. What's behind that? Yes, God is going to bless you. But here's the thing. You're looking for the blessing and you're not giving to honor God. Y'all write money cometh on your checks. Heart's not even right, not even real with why you do what you do. You take your tithe and you think you can manage it. You've not been given the management of your tithe. God said, bring it into the storehouse so there'll be meat in my house. And you don't do that. But this lady is giving because she wants to honor God. And she said, I don't need anything. But because God sees the longing in her, the man of God persists. He said, there must be something I can do. There must be something. And so then his servant says, listen, she doesn't have any children. In her day, that was not a good thing. In her day, a woman was not considered a whole woman if she didn't bear children. And then he said, she doesn't have any children and her husband is too old. Not going to be any babies at this address because the old man's not functioning. And then the prophet, by the Spirit of God, says, by this time next year, you're going to have a son. A son because the son carries on the family name. Because through the son comes your lineage. He said, by this time next year, you're going to have a seed bearing seed so that your lineage can be carried on. God didn't just give her one, my God, but he gave her a lineage. She said, don't toy with me. Don't do that. Why? Because in her heart, there is a longing, but she knows naturally she can't have it. Can you hear what I'm saying? And so when God started to speak this thing to me this morning, I knew that there was someone in this place that would be in this place today who had a longing. A deep longing. And you either haven't prayed about it in a long time or you haven't even thought to ask for it. You need a major change. You need God to move in a major way in your life. But you're not even asking. You may have asked in the past and you're just not asking anymore. Or maybe you think that God has looked over you. Remember what God said in Isaiah, "Oh, Jacob, how can you say, I don't see you? How can you say, I don't know what's going on with you? I made you, man. I know you. I created you. And I created you for my glory. And anything that's short in your life, I'm ready to give it to you. I'm ready to move on your life in that way. I'm ready to do the things that need to be done." Everything God does is for an appointed time. God doesn't do anything haphazardly. He could have come before then, but it wasn't time. Now it is time. And God's about to move on that thing. There are some things in here that are going to change today. There is an answer to a longing in this place today. There is a change that's going to take place. My God, I can't tell you how I feel this. You've waited and you've waited and you've waited. And God said, now is. Now it is. Now it is. And so the Bible says that even according to the word of the Lord, about the time that it had been spoken it would happen, she had a son. She had someone to carry on the family name. She had someone to carry on the lineage. She bare her son. Let's read verse 18. "And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knee till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. He said, this is not the day that you should go see the man of God. There is no time in particular that you should call on the name of God. You can call on him day or night, anytime, at any time, for anything, for any reason. There's no special time set for you to call on the name of God. God will bless you anytime your heart, anytime you call upon him from your heart. She had a real need. And she said, I'm going now. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. She said, drive fast, in other words. Drive in a hurry. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel, and it came to pass when the man of God saw her, afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. The boy is dead. She said, it is well. Where is her heart now? She's believing God. She's believing God. She said, it is well. Her boy is dead. the promise that God gave her is laying in a bed upstairs dead. She said, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I ask you for that child? Did I ask you for that child? Did I ask? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Didn't I tell you don't play with me? Didn't I tell you this was no laughing matter? Didn't I tell you this was no light matter? Didn't I tell you that this was something that was near and dear to my heart? Didn't I tell you? And now that boy laying up there dead. No. Here's the thing. When God gives you a promise, you didn't ask for it. Y'all don't hear me. The promise of God is his word, his will. Here's what I need you to see. God has a will concerning your life, a word concerning your life. And when he speaks that, it's not because you desired it. It's because he desired it. It's because that's what he wanted for you. It's because it's what he wanted for you. She said, did I ask for it? No, it was your will. It was your word. Hey. I didn't seek you for it. You came and spoke it to me. Forever, O Lord, is thy word established in heaven. The word of the Lord will not be altered. Not one jot, not one tittle of his word will fall undone. She said, I didn't ask for it. You promised. Hey, God said, by his stripes, we were healed. That's his word, not mine. Can you hear what I said? You will, as your soul prospers, so will you be healed and you prosper. Notice what he said. As your soul prospers, as you grow, hey, as you grow and receive my word, as my word is increased in your life, then those things in your life that ought not be, those things are changed. Those things fall off. Those things are no more in your life. You become in reality what I've called you to be. It becomes your now and not your future. And when you believe God, and then God does what he says, and then it seems like everything is just lying dormant. You don't see any movement. You don't see any action. You don't stop. We don't give up. We don't say, well, it's dead now. I think not. I think not. I think not. We say, no. We go to God and we say, it's your word. Remember last week we had Jehoshaphat. God said, Jehoshaphat said, you gave us the land, God. You drove our enemies out. And the ones that you didn't let us drive out, these are the ones that are coming after us now. You still told me it was mine. You said no matter who was in the land, when I get to the land, you said it's mine. So what I'm expecting, God, is for you to bless us according to your word. Do your will, God. Do what you said, God. Do what you promised, God. I didn't say it. You said it, God. Irabasha. Irokota. Oh, I promise you, if you get this today, you'll see. You'll see what God has already seen. You'll know what God has already known. Ooh-wee. She said, I didn't ask. She said, I did not ask. She said, you said. I didn't say, you said. Then the prophet said to Gehazi, gird up your loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If you meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. Don't talk to anybody along the way. And go lay my staff upon the face of the child. Don't get distracted by what's going on around you. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and God does live. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. And he rose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore, he went again to meet him and told him, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and lay upon his bed. And he went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. He made intercession unto the Lord. He prayed earnestly. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Makes much power available. Dunamis power. Miracle working power. You see, hey, you need a miracle, my friend. You need a miracle, my friend. The miracle worker is in the house today. You need a miracle, my friend. You need a miracle turnaround. And God wants to do that thing for you. I don't care what the doctor's report said. Ooh-wee. Don't care what the bank statement is saying. Ooh-wee. God said, I saw and I've seen. And I know my plan for you. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Huh? God know the plans I have for you. And that hasn't changed. And see, because things don't look like they're living. Because things don't look like they're going to change. It is no indication that they won't change. No. Because God has spoken a word that has not been fulfilled yet. Huh? God can't speak a word that won't be fulfilled. He cannot. He cannot lie. He cannot lie. That's why he said to Abraham, I swear by myself. Because I can't lie. I can't change. And anything I speak is going to take place because the way I say it. I don't think things will die and then things will look dead. And then what happens? Life comes. Life comes. Katrina reminded me of something that happened a long time ago, many, many years ago. I think, I don't know, maybe in the early days when I was pastoring a church, I might not have been a pastor yet, but I used to be on TV in Quincy, and there was this couple that used to listen to the broadcast. And so one day the wife called and asked if I could come to their house and pray for them because both of them had terminal illnesses. The husband and the wife had terminal illnesses. And so she asked me to pray for them. And so, man, was I shaking in my boots going. Because we got what we call, you know, stage four stuff going on, right? And I was shaking in my boots and it was like, no, I'm just going to go and I'm going to pray because it's not on me to do it. It's on God to do it. I had to really wrestle to get there. But when I got there, I prayed for both of them. I prayed for them, and I would like to tell you we had a great miracle that day, but we did not. And so time passed, and then one day I get a call from her. And she said, I went out to our shed in the back. And she said, and when I went out there, she said, growing up in that dark place through the crack in the floor, she said, was, no, she didn't say crack, that was, she said, growing up through the concrete is what she said, was a plant. And she said, and God said to me, life in the hard place. And then when her husband came home, she took him out to see it too. And she said, baby, come and look at what's going on. And he went out and he looked and he said, life in the dark place. They both saw the same thing. Hey, but it ministered to them differently. Can you hear God? It ministered to them according to what was going on. Both of them got healed. Both of them. But it didn't happen right now. Didn't happen right now. It had to look hard and dead. Hard and dark. Can you hear that, D'Angelo? Both of them saw the word of the Lord come to pass in their lives. God has not promised anything that he's not going to do. If he said it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And that takes us holding on. It takes us not casting away our confidence. It takes us enduring long and knowing that this is not a sprint, but this is a marathon. It takes us knowing that we're in this for the long haul. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes. And his hands upon his hands, and he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. God revived what looked like it was gone. What looked like it was over. God made you a promise. And the promise of the Lord is that we will be whole. That we will be restored in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to make all things right. He came to rescue, restore, heal, deliver. Yes, he did. And so if you need deliverance, he's in the house. If you need healing, he's in the house. We will not come up short because God cannot lie. He cannot lie. So we will not come up short. The word of the Lord will come to pass. Even as he has spoken it. Can you hear what God is saying? Can you hear what God is saying? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is making all things well. Making all things right. Kristen, I need you to come up here. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.